magnify Him? Come on, don't you know He's holy? Don't you know He's holy? We magnify You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know for sure that there's one that's holy in this house. And you look to your neighbor and say, it's not you. But I know one, because I feel Him mingling in this house. I feel Him just kind of passing by. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And He is holy. For Isaiah said the angels and the seraphim declare, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In fact, it's going on right now. They're saying that in heaven right now, all throughout eternity. Isn't the Lord good this morning? Oh, I love Him. And I love Him because He first loved me. And He first loved you. Not when we were His friends, but when we were His enemies. God loved us and laid down His life for us. Clap your hands to Him. Boy, I tell you, God is good. Ooh, that was some singing this morning. Wow. My, 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 my. Well, we got some folks that are out sick. We got some folks out traveling. We got some folks just out and about on the Lord's Day. Terrible, ain't it? Just out on the Lord's Day. But you're here. I wish I had everybody here, because I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes this morning. Isn't God good? Who's got our children? Sis, you got the children? The kids? Sister Brittany. All right. Well, they're going to have a good time today. Those are beautiful children. I didn't say they were behaved. I said they were beautiful. You keep that rod on them, that'll straighten them out. I know that goes against the philosophy of the world today, but I just stand on what God said. Now, you ain't got to abuse them or nothing. I ain't talking about that, but, you know, a little tap every now and then, it'll take care of a lot of things in the house. Somebody say amen. Isn't God good? What a wonderful presence of God that we have in this house. Sister, Brother Richards, it's so good to see you. That is a fine gentleman right there. And you'll find none no better. He is a wonderful, wonderful person. And I cannot wait until you're here full time. And I know that day is fastly approaching. And it's so good to have you with us. And of course, they're here because there's an occasion coming. They fixing to add to the family. Don't look like it might happen before we get out of church. We got a nurse or a doctor in here. We'll deliver this thing in the house of the Lord. And then, of course, Shanice's mother, lovely mother, is with us. And that's Renee Dillon. And God bless her for being with us. I remember her at the wedding several years back. Boy, it just seems like you blink and time flies. But at any rate, we're glad you're here. And I welcomed her to the state of Alabama. She, of course, lives in Chicago. Beautiful city. But we're glad that she's here. And we're excited because in the next coming days, we're going to have an announcement. I don't know when, but it's coming. You can look at her and tell that. Not many more days. But God is good to their family. We've been with them many years. And the Richards family is very dear to my heart. And I think they know that. And I hope I'm dear to theirs. I think I am. But they're just wonderful, wonderful people. And to be honest with you, every Jamaican family that I have met since I've been in ministry, that have been in church, every Jamaican family, they have been wonderful people. They really have. And of course, my good buddy Jason Sims, the pastors down in Foley, they have incurred over the last couple years several. They've got 15 or 20 Jamaicans that go to their church now. And he said they are just some of the best worshipers and praisers. And so anyway, I have everything great to say about Jamaica and the Jamaicans that I have encountered. Thank you so much. We love them. Everybody else, say amen. I'm going to 2 Kings chapter 4. Me. 2 Kings chapter 4, very interesting text that I have looked at many times through the years, but I saw something that just leaped out at me, and I was tempted to save it for Mother's Day, but that's not the way I'm geared. I go from one service to the next. I'm not one that gets way ahead and has a sermon built 6 months before the service. I don't really do that. I just get up, and I've had people ask me before, what are you going to preach Friday night at the rally? Well, I got to get through Wednesday night first. Once I get through Wednesday, we'll deal with Friday. That's just the way I've always been. But so anyway, this came to me this week, so I felt like it was for this service. Verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. So I'm going to move slow. So this is a woman that had a husband that apparently was going to school at the school of the prophets. She cried unto Elijah saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Because if you didn't have a husband in that day, they didn't have a welfare system. You couldn't go get a car. The government didn't help you. If you didn't have any source of income, they'd take your kids. Now, they wouldn't got much out of some of these kids. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. They'd probably brought them back. Elijah said unto her, what shall I do? What do you want me to do? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, the handmaid had nothing. We don't have anything in the house except a little pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad to all your neighbors and the empty vessels. Borrow not a few, get as many as you can. And when thou art come in, you go shut the door of your house upon you and your sons. You pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and everybody say, she shut the door upon her and her sons who brought the vessels unto her. She poured out what she had. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil was enough. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go and sell the oil. Oil and wine was a token of wealth in those days. Now you go and you sell the leftover oil to pay the debt. And live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen. I'm going to take from this text what was been said in a couple verses and pull this title from it, Behind Closed Doors. Oh, Father, feel something. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, put your touch on me, God. I need your strength. You said, God, that when one is weak, God, that they would be strong. Father, let the Holy Ghost minister to this house. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of the miracle stories in the ministry of Elisha. Elisha was, of course, the protege to the prophet Elijah. And he asked you may remember, he asked, of course, for a double portion of his successor's anointing. It's a beautiful story, and you can actually read of the many miracles that was done in 2 Kings. It's quite interesting. He had prayed for a double portion of Elijah's anointing. And if you read through the chapters of 2 Kings, you'll see that Elisha did twice as many miracles than the hand of Elijah. And of course, this story is one of them. In 2 Kings, the context and the setting that we read, particularly in these chapters here, as we read about the sons of the prophets. Evidently, there were a group of young prophets in training. We don't know much about the details. It doesn't say. They don't seem to be clearly on the same level of Elijah or Elisha. These were men that were aspiring and growing in their faith in God. They seemed to be learning in this somewhat religious training ground. And some have suggested that it was, of course, the school of the prophets. Nonetheless, it seems that Elijah may be at some point, as you read through the story, that he may have been some type of tutor or mentor or an overseer or instructor in this community of the prophets. At the very minimum, they sought his counsel. And so they congregated together as a community and even built their own community. You can see that if you'll read on down through the chapters. And so it is in the context you have this community of the schools of the prophets and the story and the setting and the text. It has to do with one of the wives, the student, one of the students of the schools of the prophets. And here's the story. Her prophet husband is dead. And now she's a widow and a single mother. And she's a single mother not only, but she has two children. And she has a debt that is left. She has no husband or no one to provide for. It's a difficult situation because, as I stated, there's no welfare or government assistance. If you got help, it would come through the hands of your family or it would come through the hands of the community that you live in. But that was it. A lot of times in scriptures you'll see widows and they become very destitute after their husbands die. Now in this story we don't know that she was left with debt. But we don't know that she wasn't left with debt. But we do know it's a very difficult situation. Because she's a widow and she doesn't have any money and she's got these two kids. And on top of that, the Bible says that the creditor is coming. You know, when you get behind on your credit card bill, you start getting them 1-877 numbers calling you and 1-800 numbers. That's the creditor calling. See what's going on. And that sounds harsh, but that's just the way it was in that day. If you didn't have the money to take care of you and your children, you had to work off your debt. And it's an amazing story because it's one of the few stories in the Bible about a single mom trying to take care of her two kids in a dilemma in life. And she goes to the prophet Elisha because here's somewhat the senior prophet to all of these men that are in the school of the prophets. And there's a lot of layers to this story and I don't have time to touch them all. But what I do see here in this story is a woman that her family is devoted to serving God. These are good people. Y'all gonna help me this morning or just look at me? These are good folks. These are people that get up and come to church when the church doors are open. These are people that support the church. These are wonderful people. They resolve their life around serving God. They get up not just on Sunday and make that a day of worship, but they worship every day. I mean, her husband is in the school of the prophets. And these are people that have revolved their life and their job and their career into serving God. These people loved God, and her husband was in training to be a voice for God in that generation. They were servants unto people. That was their life. And we find here in this story quickly that bad things happen to good people. That tragedy happens to believers, and problems will show up in the lives of people that are just doing the will of God. Not bothering anybody, just trying to serve God, trying to etch out the will of God in their life. But it's amazing that trouble and difficulty found her. And what's amazing to me is when this woman gets into this hardship and this difficulty, she goes back to the prophet of God for help. Because her misfortune does not diminish her faith, and her circumstances does not diminish her faith in ministry or her faith in God. She still believes there's a word from the prophet. And when she found herself in hardship, she didn't go anywhere else but back to the place that she had always went. And you got to understand the message. And when she needed a word from God, she went back to the place that she had got a word from God. And this isn't my message, but I think it's important to understand that you need to remain close and careful to the source that got us here in the first place. I know what got me into the church. And if I ever need anything, I'm going to stay right here in the church. My answer's not out there, not in somebody else, not in some organization. My answer's always found where it started. If you need a move of God, you'll never outgrow your testimony. Let me tell you something. Always remember the source from whence you came. Don't ever come to the house of God and God do something in your life. Put your marriage back together. Put your family back together and think you grow out of that. No, you know what's going to keep your marriage together. You know what's going to keep your family strong. It's going to be staying in the place that put it all back together. Can I get a witness from somebody? You never outgrow needing a pastor. You never outgrow needing a church. You never outgrow needing your brothers and your sisters. You always need the people of God in your life. And when trouble hit, she didn't go anywhere else. She said, "Where's Elisha?" She went and found the prophet. She comes to Elijah. She says, "I got a problem. Your servant." She puts it on him. "Your servant is dead. And now I'm a widow." And you know what? He was a good man. And he served God. And he loved you, Elisha. And I've been left in this horrible position. And the creditors are coming for my children. And she says, "I don't know what to do." And he says, "Well, what do you want me to do?" She starts taking inventory. She says, I don't have this and I don't have that. And I don't have anything. And, you know, I don't have anything in my house. And she starts running through her life. And he says, "What exactly do you have?" She says, "Well, all I got is this little jar of oil." And Elisha said, "Listen, why don't you go home and borrow pots from everybody's house, and you get the vessels from the neighborhood, and you take that jar of oil and you fill up the pots and you sell them." And what God was telling this single mother in this horrible situation trying to take care of her children is that God is going to use what you got to bring you out of the circumstance that you're in. Amen. No matter where you're at this morning in life, God is able to take the little bit that you have. You may not have as much as me. You might have more than me. You may not have as much as the next family. You may have more than them. But God is able to take the little bit that you got. If you'll put it in the hands of God, put your little bit of talent, put your little seed. Come on, give Him what you got. And God can take the little that you have, and God can bless it and prosper it and make it pull you out of the situation that you're in. Can I get a witness from somebody? You ain't got to go searching to and fro. You ain't got to run from here to there. All you've got to do is take what you have and put it in the hands of the Lord. Anybody got a few fish? Anybody got a few loaves of bread? Come on, put it in the hands of Jesus this morning and watch God multiply it. Elijah wanted her to know, and he wants you to know, God's going to use what you got. Elijah could have did miracles. He could have spoke some thing and pronounced some stuff. But he wanted her to know, God's going to use what you have. And he wanted her to know that God's going to take what you have, because he's not intimidated by your lack. Notice her testimony. This was her testimony. I don't have anything. I ain't got nothing. I don't have anything. I'm without. I'm facing hardship. And I don't have anything. She never mentioned what she did have. She only mentioned her lack and what she didn't have. And so finally Elijah says, well, what do you got? You got to have something. There has to be something. It's so easy to come into a church service like this and look around and say, I don't have much. My kids ain't acting right. My husband ain't acting right. The job's not acting right. You know, and we got all these excuses. And we get fixated on what we don't have. And we get frustrated. And we get nitpicky. And church ain't doing this. Church ain't doing that. Come on, somebody. And I'm broke. And I got this wound. And I got this thing. And I got this habit. And I got this mark on my life. And we're so fixated on what we don't have. And I can't do this. And I'm not able. And I'm not talented enough. And then we're like Moses standing at the burning bush. Well, God, you know, I can't talk. I got a stuttering problem. And Elisha looked at the woman and said, I'm tired of you telling me what you don't have. What do you have in the house? I'm asking this congregation, what do you have? Do you still have a testimony? Do you still have a seed of faith? Do you still have a voice? Do you still have a Bible? My God, do you have $5? God can take the little. God can take the little that you do have and bless it and multiply it to pull you out of that situation. Because we get so fixated on looking around at what we don't have. And God wants us to know, I can take the little thing you do have and bless it and pull you out of that position in life that you're in. God was telling her he's going to use what you got. I can't tell you how many times I just had a little and I said, this ain't even no use. What's this going to do? What's God going to do with this little bit? I can't rub two dimes together right now. And I'm looking external. Well, I need this. I need that to happen. And all God really needs you to do is say, well, listen, I'm tired of listening to you tell me what you don't have. Why don't you get thankful for the little bit you do have? Why don't you clap them hands of praise for what you do have? I know it's not a lot now, but if you can manage your worship and your praise and your response to it, let me tell you what will happen. I'll step into your little. I'll step into your pot. And I'll cause that pot to overflow with oil and anointing, somebody. I'll bless it and prosper it. What do you have this morning? This is what Elijah's trying to communicate. God can take what you have. Well, preacher, you know, I wasn't raised like that. Don't matter. I hadn't been in church long. Don't matter. I'm a heathen. Well, we already know that. That don't matter. I made mistakes. Don't matter. I failed God. Don't matter. What do you have? Can you just give him 5 minutes a day? Can you just read a chapter? Can you give him something I mean, do you got a $10 bill? Come on, somebody. Don't worry about how much. Just give Him what you have. And just as He turned the circumstance for this widow, God can turn the circumstance for you. Because He wanted her to know, I'm going to use what you have. He wanted her to know that I'm going to use the stuff you have. See, we get so stuck in what we don't have. She said, I don't have anything. I'm assuming not having anything means not having anything. She didn't have a table. She didn't have a lamp. She didn't have no furniture. You know, when you walk into a house, you're going to rent and it's empty. I'm assuming that's what it looked like. Didn't have a bed to lay on. Didn't have anything. Now, let me tell you what she really wanted. Because I know human nature. Because I'm human. She didn't have no food. We know this. She wanted Elijah to say, okay, we got to get you some food. Okay, because that's what church folks do. When we have people that come in that have a need. Well, so I tell you what, well, let me talk to the church. We'll see if we can collude our money together. We'll go down to Walmart and get you $400 or $500 food for all your family. You don't have a couch? Let me just run by this bargain store, see if we can pick up a couch and a few end tables for you. Because that's what we do. And that's really what she wanted Elisha to say. She wanted Elisha to fix her problem. And give her, well, I tell you what, we'll get you food. We'll make sure you got some tables. We'll put some chairs in your house. We'll go get something. She wanted them to run down to Walmart and fix everything in her life that was mixing. But God's not going to do it that way. God's going to start with what you do have. He's going to start with your little testimony. He's going to start with a little bit of seed. God's going to take the little bit you do have, and He's going to start working in your life from that little piece you have left. And then out of that, it will spring forth a great bounty and harvest. There's a lot of aspects to this story, and what I've really preached is not really my message. But this is my message. But Elijah tells her, he says, you go get the vessels. You go get the pots. You take the pot of oil, you fill them up. You take those pots and you take them into your house. You take your two sons and you shut the door. She had a word from God. But what she really had was an opportunity. She had direction on what to do. But it was solely up to her. She didn't have to do what the prophet told her to do. But now behind closed doors, it's up to her as to what she'll do. It's completely on her shoulders whether or not she'll live out the word of God. And now in the privacy of her own home, in front of her two boys, she has an opportunity to live out her faith. Her miracle was not a public demonstration, but it was a private obedience. No one there to supervise, nobody there to encourage, no one to give her counsel. It was simply her choice to obey the word of God or not. And Elijah told her, he said, ma'am, take your boys and take the vessels and you go in and close the door. And in the face of her children, she found a place of privacy where she met God. And she said, I'm going to do what the man of God said. Can I tell this congregation, what you do behind closed doors matters the most in your life. Once you get to the house and you close them doors, there's a greater impact what goes on behind the doors of your house than you can ever do in public. You shout and run around this church and act like the Holy Ghost has filled you. But what you really do when you walk in your house and you shut them doors is the greatest impact to your children. My word, I had wish I had some moms and dads in here that I could preach to this morning. Let me preach to a few parents. Your children need to hear you pray behind closed doors. Your kids need to see you read your Bible behind closed doors. Your kids need to know you support the pastor behind closed doors. Your children need to know you support the church behind closed doors. Behind closed doors, let them know you love this church. Behind closed doors, let them know we've got the best kids ministry in town. Behind closed doors, you let them know we got the best youth program in town. Because behind closed doors is what really makes the difference in people's life. And now it's up to her. What do you do when you walk through the door of your house and it shuts? What goes on? What kind of conversation? What do you talk about? Do you talk about commitment and sacrifice, servitude and living for God? Do they know that souls matter? Do we teach them how to pray and to have faith and walk with God? What happens behind closed doors when trouble hits and hardship hits and you've served God and you've tried to do the will of God and you've involved yourself in ministry and you've given yourself to the call of God and all of a sudden you've got trouble and you feel like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death? What's the conversation going to be like when you get to the house? Oh, it's easy to walk around here and shout, and it's easy to look the part, but what really matters is when you shut the door to the car and you drive your children to their house and you walk up to your door and you shut that door and you walk in and that door's closed. What you say is really what's going to make the difference in the lives of your children. I wish I had a witness from somebody. The greatest example your kids will ever have is what goes on behind closed doors. I can pray for your kids, baptize them. I can help them through some trouble. You can keep them out of trouble by what goes on behind closed doors. Elijah told her, he said, you go home and close the doors. I want your children to see what your response is. I want them to look at you and see whether or not you're going to be obedient to the man of God, or whether or not you're going to walk behind closed doors and goes, I got a real problem in my life. I got a need in my life. He wants me to go fill these water pots up. And stupid command. What's he talking about? Pour this oil out. I ain't got nothing left. No, what are you going to do? You're going to grumble? You're going to complain? You're going to bellyache? Or somebody's got to look at hardship and difficulty and say, honey, listen, here's what we're going to do. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Get them pots out. Get them vessels out. We're fixing to fill them vessels up. God's going to do a miracle. I'm preaching. Call Patty. I need to preach this at the next children's conference. God's looking for a mom and a dad that'll just be radical enough to believe what the Lord has said and trust in what God has told you to do when it don't seem like it makes a lot of sense. Now listen, I can't navigate your life. There's too many variables to your life. I couldn't tell you how your life's going to turn out. There's just too many factors of that's up to you. But I've been in this long enough to know this. If you go home and you shut your doors and you chew the preacher up and you run down to church, you run down to the youth department, I'm on it, ain't I? You run down to kids' ministry and you grumble and complain in front of your kids, I can promise you this without being a prophet. You have 100% set them up for failure. That's right. They will view the church. And listen, nobody in here is perfect. Pastor, preacher, youth, we know that. We can talk about that all day. But if you chew them up, you have put them in the worst possible position. for them to have a love for God. Because they'll look at church, and they'll look at ministry, and they'll look at the people that are involved in ministry, and they'll do it with a slanted view. But if you can walk in that house and spread the love of God and tell them, say, honey, I don't care how bad it gets, we're going to serve the Lord. We know what the preacher said. We know what Elisha said. We're going to get our pots, and we're going to do everything we can to do what we can do to live for God. It don't matter how hard it gets. I know we're grieving. You've lost your father, but we still got to do what God said, and we still got to do what God said is right. And that's what she did. Because let me tell you something. I've been in some services with some prophets. Very powerful. Very. I wouldn't deny it. God didn't want them kids to see Elisha perform a miracle. God wanted those kids to see mom and dad operate under the power of God. More so than Elisha coming out with his wand and fixing all their problems. God said, I want those kids to see mama rise up and obey what the word of the Lord is. And take them pots and fill them up. I don't know about you. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't know how hard it gets. I'm going through my own personal trial. I feel like I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But you know what? I'm going to fear no evil. Because God is with me. And God is for me. And I'm just going to keep taking what I got left. And I'm going to keep putting it in that pot of oil. And when it looks like there ain't nothing left, I'm just going to keep turning it upside down. And somehow, some way, God's going to make a way. Because He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I could ever think or ask. Because behind closed doors is what really matters. It's really what makes the difference. You may not have kids. Don't just pertain to kids. For your purpose and destiny to be worked out in your life, the majority of it will come by what you do behind closed doors. Jesus said, when you pray, you go to a secret place. Oftentimes, He would slip away to the mountaintops and He would pray and talk to the Father. And the majority of what you see in somebody's life that's displayed in the open is born out of a secret place where there's sacrifice and commitment and an honor to God when nobody's around and nobody's looking. I promise you, you won't ever do anything for God that'll slip His eye. You set your clock, you get up, you talk to God, you spend time with Him, and God will use you in the face of people. It was the Pharisees that wanted to be seen. They wanted to come out and blow their trumpets when it was time to give alms. And, you know, they wanted everybody to see. They prayed these loud and audacious prayers. And they wanted everybody to hear. But Jesus told His disciples, He said, you do good deeds. You pray in secret. You don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You get into a secret place and you talk to God. And I will reward you openly. You'll stand out there one day and everybody's going to know you've been with Jesus. Everybody's going to know there's a fresh touch of anointing on your life. She goes in and she shuts the door. And she's on her own. It's up to her. She could have come out and said it didn't work. She could have come out and said nothing happened. Behind closed doors, nobody could tell what she did. We were waiting for the outcome. We didn't know. We didn't know if she was in there criticizing the prophet or running down. You don't know. She goes in there and she was obedient. She closed the doors. And now God's going to take what she lacks. And God's going to deliver her out of that situation. She needed money to pay the creditor. And now, because of her obedience, she's going to have enough oil and abundance out of the little bit that she had. Somebody say amen. Because your children need to see more than a prophet. They need to see a family. They need to see a mom walk in the anointing. That Proverbs 31 woman, the Bible says her children rise up and call her blessed. You know why they do that? Behind closed doors, she's living it out. Behind closed doors, she's worshiping. Behind closed doors, she's making sacrifices to God. Mom and Dad, serve God in front of your children. You let them be the example of God. Don't leave it up to a preacher, church, or a pastor. You let them see you. We don't just live for God on Sundays. We live for God on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I'd be glad as a pastor to help anybody I can, but the majority of what will be done in your children's life will fall on your shoulders. And most of the time, let me just meddle a little bit. We don't like to live the way we're supposed to live. And then when they're 16 or 17 and you can't control them, you bring them to the church and you want the pastor and the church to fix them. Well, how can I fix 16 or 17 years of your dysfunction in front of them? I'm trying to be nice. I shouldn't have said that. Somewhere behind closed doors, you got to find a walk with God. And you got to find a relationship with God. And it just can't be showing up at 10:30 and showing up on 7. And you need to show up at 10:30 and 7, by the way. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. But there needs to be a hunger and a thirst down on you that when you get to the house, they hear the sound of worship. They feel joy. They feel peace. They know Jesus is in the house. And you got the best preacher in town. You got the best church in town. You got the best music department in town. We love what God's doing at the POPC. And so the kids are watching Mom operate under the power of God. They're watching her live out this faith. She's doing what the man of God said. She's being obedient to the word of God. And this is how Elisha knew she had done what was right. Is when she finally opened them doors, Brother Wilson, she came out with pots of oil. It stayed. It was enough. Just pouring it out. Just pulling those fish from those baskets, those loaves of bread. Just feeding it. It's still there. And it's still there. And at the end of that story, they loaded up 12 baskets full of fragments. They took all the leftover. They had more when it was over than they did when they started. Just shelling it out. What do you have? What do you have? What little bit do you have that you can put into God's hand this morning? And maybe that little bit that you do have is what God wants to use to bless and bring you out of the situation and the circumstance that you're in. And they were just shelling it out. It was a wonderful, wonderful miracle. And she came out and she was just loaded down with oil. Let me tell you something. I'll be honest. I've been doing this a minute. I've seen some people walk through some bad stuff. I've seen people walk through some horrible trials. And I'll be honest, I've seen some come out of it and they were beat and they were weary. And I've seen others come out carrying oil. And what that told me was that when they got behind closed doors, they did what was right. Because when you're going through a trial and a valley and a hardship, you can bellyache your way through it. And you can be negative all the way through it. And you can complain all the way through it. And you can get on the phone and gossip with your BFF about it. And it won't be long. You'll be getting mad with God. And you'll be saying, Lord, why you got me in this trial? Let me tell you something. Hardship is going to come to everybody in here. I don't care what you are or who you are. At some point in this lifetime, you're going to have to deal with something. You can go to the gym. You can eat vegan. You can eat gluten-free. You can eat organic. I don't care what you eat. You have no control what might come to your body. You can intermittent fast and you can see your ribs. Get on Ozempic and all that other stuff. And slim and trim your body down. But let me tell you something. It does not inoculate you from the trials of life. And you don't never know when you go to, you don't know what might be there. And I've seen people walk through hardships. And you know that when they got behind the closed doors, He said, God, I don't understand what's going on, but I'm just going to keep worshiping. I don't understand. I feel like Job. I'm looking to the left and the right, and you're not there. And I just don't even know where you are, you know. But what Job didn't realize is when he couldn't find God, God had already set him up to come out like pure gold. Job just had to hang on and keep worshiping. Job said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Come on, somebody. We got to rejoice when He gives. We got to rejoice when He takes. We got to rejoice and worship when it's good. And we got to rejoice and worship when it's not good. Because at the end of the day, God is always good. And you can tell families when they've been through it. And they just keep living for God. And they keep serving God. And they keep walking with God. And their praise never comes down. You don't ever see them just come in here and just sit down. And you can tell everything's wrong in their life. Got the praise team up there just singing. And they like a statue. Won't clap. Bottom lip poked out. Mad at everybody. Not thinking, do you still have a pulse? You still got warm blood? Did God wake you up this morning? Are your kids healthy? Got a little food at the house? Come on, got a little money in the bank? What do I got to be upset about? God sits on the throne of my life. God's in control of my life. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Which was, which is to come. He's the Almighty God. Would you stand? I'm going to land this plane somewhere. I don't know where I'm at. What do you got? If all you got's a little praise, we'll start with that. Bring it to the altar. You got a little bit of a testimony, a piece left? You could just walk down here and say, God, I remember back in 1995 when you delivered me. That's something. Give him something. God, I remember when the doctor said this wouldn't happen, but they hadn't checked with you. When they checked with you, hey, you had a different report. God, I remember, if I don't have anything to give you today, I remember when my kids were backslidden. And they got roped up with these kids at school and they were doing all kind of stuff. I was so worried about it. I remember, God, I walked the floor, but you gave me a promise. You brought them back into the fold. They're serving you today. What do you have? Quit looking around at what you don't have. And give God what you do have. I don't have a lot of strength. I'm going to be honest with you. God help me this morning. I get out of here, I'm going home to take a nap right when I walk through the door. But I told God, I said, what little bit of strength I got, I'm going to pour it out this morning. I don't care if it kills me. I'm giving this church everything I have to preach this message this morning. And when I said that, the Lord reminded me, and I quoted it earlier, when you were weak, I'm strong. I can't run and jump and shout. I don't have the energy, but I'm going to give Him what I got. If you see me up here just kind of doing this, I'm really running around the church. I can't, but that's what I'm really doing, okay? In my mind. I don't need anything else but what I already have. I got a voice. I'm going to lift it like a trumpet in this house. And I'm going to declare the wonderful works of God. I shall live and not die. And I will declare the wonderful works of Jesus. Oh, how He healed my body. Oh, how He touched my soul. Oh, how He picked me up from the miry clay and set my feet on a rock to stay and put a song down in my heart. Come on, let's gather in. Give him what you got. Come on in, give him what you got.